to go to Daniel chapter number 6. Let me find where I'm looking. Verse number 23. That's the verse I want you to look at today. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Is that a good verse? All right, well, let me hear you read it underneath those masks in a way that I can't understand it all together. All right, Daniel 6:23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. How many of you are willing today to get happy about the moment you're going to come out of your trial, even if it hadn't happened yet, all right? And today, I'm not even just going to talk about you coming out your trial. I want to talk about what I call an excited proponent. I want to talk about the people who are going to rejoice over your deliverance based on how you acted when you went through it. Sister Wanda, that's your cue. Thank you. Don't expect a fanfare if you acted a fool during your trial. You get to the finish line and wait. Where are all the people that gathered for waiting for me at the finish line? They left the finish line because you cheated and you did all that other stuff when you were running the race. Nobody celebrates a victory when you got it the wrong way. Okay, so stop. You can't just be looking forward to the hallelujah chorus at the end. You got to make sure you're living it right in the middle. Father, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Bless the preach word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The excited proponent. Last week we talked about the everlasting protector. That was Almighty God. God went with Daniel into the lion's den. Why? Because they were walking together before he ever went in it. Jesus showed up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Why? Because they were walking with him before they were ever thrown in it. Let me tell you something. It may not get a lot of limelight. It may not get a lot of attention when you tell your story. But how you behave before your trial has a lot to do with how God deals with you during your trial. And how you behave during your trial has a lot to do with how many people after your trial will celebrate your victory. Now listen to me. Here's what I want to get you to understand. There's a world that doesn't know God. And because they don't know God, they are living in a foreign territory when it comes to spiritual victory. Now pause. Everybody's got to understand this now. How many of you work with people? How many of you are related to people? How many of you are friends with people? How many of you live near people? How many of you observe people that, sad to say it, they don't experience spiritual victories because unfortunately they don't have a personal relationship with the everlasting protector. Come on now. Now listen to me. We can sit here as Pharisees, we can sit here as elitists and say, shame on them, they don't know God. We can talk down about them, or we can pause and say, thank God that we know the Lord. Come on now. Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you glad you experienced victory? Raise your hand if you've ever got a prayer answered. Raise your hand if God's ever come through and did a miracle in your life. Raise your hand if God's ever did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Raise your hand if God ever showed up in the midnight hour. Raise your hand if he didn't come when you want him, but he came when it was right on time. Listen to me. You ought to give God the praise that he's still in the business of protecting you. Now, here's what I want you to get. If they don't know God like we know God, and they are foreign to deliverance because they don't know God that delivers, here's what I want to get you to understand. Then they're going to have to experience the deliverance of God through your story. I want you to look at this verse and then you can go home. Then was the king exceeding glad. Next two words. What is it? For what? The king wasn't in the den. The king's life wasn't threatened. The king didn't have a decree made up to set him up. The king was never in danger of getting eaten up. The king didn't have a coup of advisors that were lying and scheming for his demise. Daniel was in the den. Daniel got lied on. Daniel got misrepresented. Daniel got set up. Daniel got mistakenly punished when it should have been. Daniel was the one who was mistreated. Daniel was the one who was treated unjustly. Daniel was the one in the lion's den. So the scripture aptly reads, then was the king exceeding glad for him. Write this thing down if you're taking notes. Overjoyed effect. Let me tell you something. Your spiritual victory brings happiness to somebody else. Let me say that again. Your spiritual victory brings happiness to somebody else. And let me add this addendum. Sometimes that somebody else isn't even a Christian. You are telling his story by how you live yours. Now, listen. We can agonize over how many people never sit in Crossroads Baptist Church and listen to my sermon, or we can take advantage of how many people go to work with you and listen to your sermon. They never come to this auditorium, but they read your Facebook post. They've never heard my message, but they go to school with you. They've never heard me teach on missions. They'll never hear Dr. Leland Johnson talk about what's going on in Brazil. They'll never understand what the statement, the mission of the church is missions. But they're watching you, and watch this now, they're watching you with a magnifying glass when you're in the lion's den. You cannot take the privilege and the luxury of turning off your Christianity when it's inconvenient, because sometimes your inconvenience is the time when your Christianity is the most on display. And too many have failed when it counted the most. Everybody's going to go through a lion's den. Everybody's going to end up in a fiery furnace. Everybody's going to be passed through the fire. Everybody's going to endure some type of temptation. Everybody's going to be troubled. Everybody's going to be tested. Everybody's going to be misrepresented at some time. Everybody's going to be mistreated. Everybody's going to endure some form of injustice. Everybody's going to experience being lied on, being cheated, being gossiped, being misassumed, being misconstrued, being misrepresented, being misconcluded. There are going to be people that are going to say things. You can't put the rumors out. You can't correct everybody. People don't believe. Somebody called me this week. What do you do with people that always want to keep bringing up your past, even though you changed? And every time you see them, they remember the old person that you are. I said, don't pay no attention to them. That's what you do with them. You don't pay no attention. You can't make them think what you want them to think about you, but you don't have to think about what they're thinking. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and lovely and of pure and of good report and of good report and of good report and of good report. Think on these things. How many things did you dwell on this week that were of bad report? About you or somebody else. I want you to notice there is an overjoyed effect. The deliverance in Daniel's life brought joy to King Darius's heart. Listen to me. Your Christianity that's genuine, that's authentic, that's been viewed, that's been scrutinized, that's been watched, that's been detailed. When you experience spiritual victory, some coworker who's never been to church, some family member who denies the existence of God, some critic who doesn't even believe prayer works, some religious zealot who talks of some kind of religion that's outside of the truth of the Word of God is watching you. And when they look down in that den and find out that God you said was real, that God you said was good, that God you said was able, that God you said was faithful, that God you kept praying to, that God you kept walking with, that God you kept worshiping and keeping your windows open while you did. When they find out that your God came through for you and did what their God cannot do, shut up some lions' mouths. You're going to come out the lion's den and they're going to be happy for you. Here's a question I'd like you to run with. Who have you made smile lately? The world is so depressed. People are so depressed. People, they ain't gonna never experience joy till they get right with God. Not fully, but they might get a glimpse of it watching you stay right with God. Overjoyed effect. Now watch the order to act. I'm hastening. Exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. This is the king giving orders. Just a few verses ago, he gave orders for them to put him in there. Now he's giving orders for them to take him out. So watch this now. Now you're not only making him smile, you're making him change his order. Go get him out of there. Watch. Listen. If you live for God long enough, you're going to watch people try to destroy you, fail at destroying you, and decide they ain't going to even try no more. Now, this is in essence what the king is saying. Pull him out the den. It's obvious that the lions ain't going to eat him. Ain't no use in feeding lions something they're not going to eat. Listen, if you keep succumbing to the attacks of Satan, you are only reminding him that you need to keep getting attacked. Now, listen, I'm not saying that if you're going to live for God, eventually the devil's going to leave you alone. Because the truth of the matter is, the devil ain't messing with most people that ain't doing nothing. If you ain't doing nothing for God, you're not a threat to him. He might as well leave you alone. You're helping him. But if you're doing something for God, you're a target of the devil. But it ought to be that your Christianity is so in sync with God that eventually the devil and all of those being led by him figure out you obviously are not going down. The obvious absence. I'm almost done. He's taken up out the den. Now read the next part of the verse. And no what? No manner of was upon nothing. How do you even throw a person in the lion's den, they come up out there and you can't find anything wrong with them? That's a miracle. Obvious absence. There was no inkling of hurt found upon him. The connotation is that they searched him. They looked at him clearly. They could find no ill effects of Daniel's trial on him. I don't know why. There's some instinctive, subconscious, unwritten, yet assumed rule of Christianity that makes us feel like bigger Christians when we make sure that everybody can see just how bad our problems are messing us up. And then there's almost a distaste for Christian people who seem to persevere through them as if their problems don't mess up. Listen, I'm going to teach you something this morning, and I hope you'll receive it. Don't criticize people who don't come to church and wallow around wounded, beat up, scruffed up, limping and struggling and go, oh, pray for me. The devil's been beating me up all week long. It's just by the grace of God that I made it in here. As if they're the only ones the devil had beaten up. Jesus said, just because you fasting doesn't mean everybody got to know. Some people fast and they go to restaurants on purpose while they're fasting. Would you like to order anything? Sit down with all a bunch of Christian people. Go sit at the table. Go sit at the table. The bread comes out. Somebody put you a piece of bread. The waitress comes out, goes and takes all the orders. What would you like to order? Oh, don't even ask me what I want to eat. It's 5 o'clock in the evening. I ain't had nothing all day long.
Nothing at all.
You didn't eat breakfast?
Oh, no, didn't touch it. What about lunch? Didn't have a morsel of salt.
You're not going to order anything for dinner?
No, I've been going through a deep spiritual trial. I need God to break the yoke of. I've been praying every time I thought about food. I'm talking about groanings that can't even be uttered. I'm so hungry, I ain't even pray no more. I'm just going,
You think God's hearing that kind of prayer? That's not fasting. That's showing off. That's looking for attention. Somebody has to walk, listen, walk enough with God, not that you become such a spiritual martyr that has to look wounded. Walk enough with God that you give him your problems that they don't wound you. There's nothing spiritual about looking beat up all the time. And I'm not saying that problems don't beat you up. But listen, casting all your cares upon him. If you've given them to him, that means you don't have them. Let me close. It's already 12:20. Y'all keep saying amen. It just make me go longer. Yeah. Watch out. Some people here want to fight y'all for doing that. Spirit just changed in the building. They up there saying, be quiet, Brother Damon, be quiet. Overjoyed effect, ordered act, obvious absence, and then I'll close with this. Overcoming assurance. Here's the impetus for victory, if not the most important part of the verse. Because he believed in his God. Amen. Say amen to what I just said. Amen. Assurance is the way you overcome. I said assurance is the way you overcome. Come on. He didn't get out the lion's den because he was the king's favorite. He didn't get out the lion's den because he got lucky. He didn't get out the lion's den because the governor phoned in a stay on his execution. He got out the lion's den because he believed in his God. Oh, you want some verses for it? I'll give you one. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. And somebody is getting happy over your spiritual victory, or somebody is getting motivated to stay lost and to keep not believing in your God, because after all, why in the world should I make him my God when he's yours and can't even deliver you? So you better quit all that shaking and complaining and fussing and whining. Oh, Pastor, come on, come on up in here and beat us. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to tell you that you better stop making your narrative that your problems are so big and start making your narrative that your God is so big. Because I'm telling you, even if God delivers you out of your trial, if during the trial your faith is weak, your testimony is dismal, your character is questionable, your consistency is on vacation, then don't expect the people that you claimed to that your God was good to be standing outside the lion's den with a sign. Welcome home. Huh? No. See, how you live in your trial motivates how big the victory celebration is going to be after your trial. And it might be that the closest witness that you'll ever give to a lost person is you coming out of your trial and that person rejoicing for you that you didn't get hurt in your trial, even though that trial hurts everybody else when it's their trial, but it didn't hurt you in your trial, and they're celebrating your victory because you believed in your God. Your faith matters. When you fall apart, it's not just about you feeling bad. It's about how you represent the power of your God in your trial. Your failure to trust him is a failure to testify to others about him. Both failures we will give account for at the judgment seat of Christ. Our Father, I pray you help us. What a testimony Daniel had. To be coming out of the lion's den and to have King Darius exceeding glad for him. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. God bless you. Put your hands down. Pastor, God has spoken to me today. I want my life in my struggles, my difficulties. I'm always telling people about Jesus and trying to lead them to the Lord and trying to get them to come to church and trying to get them to understand the Bible and trying to get them to experience what I experience. And some of it seems like it falls on deaf ears. I don't necessarily concentrate on the fact that my trial itself is a testimony to them, a teaching moment. And God, if I can give somebody else gladness over my victory, just maybe, it will motivate that person to experience his own through you. God has spoken to me in some way, somehow, in my heart today, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you. All over, everywhere. God help us all. I'm human like you. When I'm in the thick of something, all I'm thinking about is me, how I feel and what I'm going through. And sometimes the trial ain't even for me. God was trying to help somebody else through Daniel's victory. By the way, Christian, just think about this for a moment. Not only was Darius excited that Daniel got out the lion's den in that moment, for the ages of all eternity, preserved in the canon of Scripture, all of us are excited that Daniel got out the lion's den. Aren't you glad that we got to watch the same Daniel who prayed to get in experience God's power to bring him out? Now, your story might be preserved too. Make sure you don't write down embarrassing details that you'll regret people rehearse in days to come. One more question. Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. I won't call your name. I don't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you, and we would be glad to have somebody help you, but we won't press you anything, but would you let me pray for you? Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Would you slip your hand up long enough for me to see it just to pray for you? Anybody like that at all? Just be honest. Let me tell you right where you are. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right where you are, if you're willing to pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Lord, saying, Lord, I believe Jesus died for me, was buried and rose again. I know I'm a sinner separated from you. I was born that way. As best as I know how, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. Please forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. If you'll pray that prayer right now. God will save your soul. You say, Pastor, how do you know it? Because God said it in his word, and I believe it. God help us all. If you're here today and you're saved and you don't have a good church, you'd like to find out information about joining Crossroads Baptist Church or scriptural baptism or your walk with the Lord, I hope before you leave today, you'll see one of our ushers. They'll get your name, get you connected to the right person, one of our deacons, one of our staff. Be glad to talk with you about church membership or scriptural baptism. We want to be a catalyst through which you can be everything God wants you to be. But we've got to own our responsibilities too, folks. Sometimes it's not God, it's not others, it's us. You make sure you make whatever move God's told you to make spiritually today. Now, when the service is over, you're going to go back to that trial, back to that den, back to that storm, back to that struggle. Here's what I want you to do. Live for God like you're being watched all the time. Well, Pastor, I don't want to live to impress. Well, first of all, live for God like God's watching you, because he is. And then live for God like others are watching you, because they are. And let your testimony prove to others that your God is real. Our Father, we bless your name and magnify you. I pray you continue to work in us and through us. Thank you for what we've seen and heard. And thank you for what you've done. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name.